spiritual fruit remains as a lasting legacy, far better than anything else you can leave behind in life. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, all of us who are followers of Jesus are called to bear fruit. And not only are we to bear fruit, but that fruit is to remain as a living legacy. Now this, as you would think, is a very serious commission we've been given, and so it's important for us to know just how we can produce fruit. In just a moment, Kenneth brings us part two of Fruit.
Hi there, everyone. It's good to be with you once more. This is the second in our series on fruit, and we started with fruit to God in the first message. In the second message today, I would like to talk to you mainly from John's Gospel, chapter 15, and this is about fruit that remains. This is a wonderful and a great chapter where the Lord Jesus taught about himself as the true vine, and he has a lot to say about fruit. In fact, different facets of fruit. For example, just in verse 2, which is a very key verse, there is a mention of no fruit, fruit, and more fruit. Listen to what it says. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, that's no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So that's about fruit. That it may bear more fruit. And then further on in verse 8, he says something about much fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So he covers the whole range, the whole spectrum, from no fruit, to fruit, to more fruit, to much fruit. This also tells us that it is both a continuing and a growing process. I would like to begin with a verse much further down in the chapter, and this is John chapter 15, verse 16, to bring out this important point that we are appointed to bear fruit. It's not something we choose to do. It's not an optional extra. We have to begin here to recognize that fruit bearing is part and parcel of our calling and our standing in Christ. And this is what the Lord said in John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That's a very fundamental verse about fruit that we need to begin with. He appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. From this, we see that fruitfulness is a mandate from God. We are chosen and appointed to bring forth fruit. Just like Adam and Eve were given the original natural mandate for man to be fruitful and to multiply in the Genesis account of creation. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, after he had created the first man and woman in Adam and Eve. In verse 28 of Genesis 1, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So that was the original mandate given to man to be fruitful and multiply in the natural domain. So here in John 15:16, we have a similar spiritual mandate to be fruitful for God on the earth. We have been chosen and saved and appointed that we should go and bear fruit. That's what we are here for. The additional thing we are told in John 15:16 about fruit is this, that your fruit should remain. Spiritual fruit remains as a lasting legacy. In fact, it is far better than anything else you can ever leave behind in this life. When we work according to God's will, we're working for eternal results and rewards. Whatever you may leave behind in an earthly will that you make does not remain, but fruit from what you have done in God's will does. Think about that seriously. And if we had eyes to see and ears to hear, we will live by what the Lord himself lived. Not my will, but yours be done. But notice another wonderful thing in this great verse, John 15:16. In the third part where it says that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This is a wonderful promise of prayer and asking, which is often considered when we think or talk about prayer. But when we look at it in the context of what precedes this promise in the same verse, which is about fulfilling the mandate of God to be fruitful, then it takes on a higher and a greater significance. And the question that I need to ask myself is this: is what I'm asking in prayer from God consonant or in line with this God-appointed role to bring forth fruit? It has to be seen in that light, prayer and asking in the light of fruit-bearing. And if it is so, if what I'm praying for and asking God is consonant and consistent with bringing forth fruit for God, then I can afford to ask boldly and confidently, because this is something that He desires and requires of us. When we can see this in the full light, this becomes a powerful prayer promise, not for petty personal prayers, but to bear fruit which will bring glory to God and that will remain. We are now going to consider a very basic question. What produces fruit? We are going to find the answers in this same book of John's Gospel in two places or verses which begin with the word except or unless. So I will consider these as two exceptions or principles for producing fruit. The first exception or principle we find in this same chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 15. Let me read to you from verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless. So this is our first exception. Except or unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What produces fruit? Let me call this fertilizing, using a horticultural term. And it's about the principle of life. And this comes by abiding in Christ. Fertilizing, based on the principle of life, which in practice comes by abiding in Christ. This is a picture of the vine branch principle of abiding life. The Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So He is the stem and the roots from which we, as the branches, draw nutrition and sustenance, like the water and nutrients from the ground. What it's saying is that fruitfulness comes from abiding or remaining in Christ. That's what abiding means. Fruit is not something that we produce on our own and then we place it on the plant. It's not like an artificial Christmas tree where we buy all kinds of baubles and decorations and we place it on the tree. That's not how it is in a real tree or a real plant. Fruit is an intrinsic part and parcel and a result of the life of Christ in us, just as the branches are an organic part of the entire vine. So if we really want to be more fruitful for God, it doesn't really come by trying to do more for God, as much as it is about doing more with Him. Not doing more for Him, but doing more with Him. In verse 5 it says, without me, you can do nothing. Of course we can do some things, even plenty of things on our own. But what the Lord is saying is that without me, you can do nothing that is of real, eternal worth and spiritual value. And that's a hard thing for the flesh to accept and to put in practice. That's how it comes. That's all you need to do, is just to abide and to remain in Him. There's no great struggle or exertion, just resting in Him and drawing the life from Him. You will know that if you are struggling and straining or huffing and puffing, that you're really trying to produce fruit of your own making, which is not the way He intends or has designed for us. To abide means to remain or to stay, to continue with Christ, to continue with His word and His commandments. In verse 7 it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And again in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. So practically, to abide in Christ implies abiding in his word and commandments and abiding in his love. Communion with Christ is what abiding is all about, and it involves these practical means of letting His Word abide in us, as well as our asking Him in prayer. So to put it in very simple, practical terms, communion with Christ, or abiding in Christ, has to take the form of daily reading of His Word and feeding on it, as well as prayer and the Word of God. Earlier on, we have come across a wonderful promise of prayer in verse 16. Now here in verse 7 is another wonderful promise of prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And again, it's all within the larger context, being appointed to go and bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain. So look at it this way. If you want to bear fruit, you need to abide in Him. And this is done by abiding in His Word and in His love. And when we are found in that place, in His love and in obedience to His Word, this is the great privilege that we have. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you, because it is all wonderfully wrapped up within His mandate for us to bring forth fruit. And the next verse in verse 8 says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple." Your desire becomes a desire that has been implanted by God Himself, and surely God will delight to fulfill His own desire in you. And that has arisen not by coercion or compulsion, but out of communion with Him. And this contributes to the highest category of fruit that we can imagine, much fruit. This is what glorifies God the most. Fruitfulness glorifies the Father and is the evidence of true discipleship and sonship. So back to our question, what produces fruit? That's the first thing. It's the principle of life that comes from abiding in Christ. And I've called that fertilizing, because that is what really makes for much fruit. By supplying the really needed nutrients, which can then in turn be drawn up through the roots, the stem, and onto the branches. What produces fruit? Another way is through pruning, which is also a horticultural term. And this is about the principle of death. And this is realized practically by being crucified with Christ. So here is the second way, by pruning, about the principle of death through being crucified with Christ. Let us read this in John chapter 15, verse 2 again. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes," that's our word, "that it may bear more fruit." Pruning or purging is the application of the principle of the cross. This is not for punishment, for sin or for wrongdoing, but rather it is for greater fruitfulness, even if you have been doing fine all along the way. But because God is not content to let you just coast along and remain at that same level, He purges and purifies and prunes you so that even though there may have been fruit, there will be more fruit. Pruning always involves some pain when parts of branches are sheared off. In fact, it looks quite contrary to what you really want to achieve at first sight. That seems a very hard and a cruel, even destructive thing to do to a plant when seemingly healthy shoots or parts of branches are sheared off. Why would anyone want to do a thing like that to a healthy plant? How does it work? From a distance, sometimes luxuriant leaves may look very impressive, but on closer inspection, you'll find that there's really very little fruit or no fruit at all. There's a lot of foliage or leaves, but very little or no fruit. And if this is a fruit tree, it beats the whole point of cultivating it. There is growth, but it's the wrong kind of growth. There's a lot of sprouting, which simply takes away precious nutrients. This is very much like what can happen in lives, which need pruning in order to remove wrong priorities and preoccupations. These are the things which sap and which consume vital resources, but they do not lead to real or significant fruit. And that's the whole point of pruning. The practice of pruning may be undertaken for a number of reasons. For example, the removal of dead wood, or for shaping a plant, to improve or to maintain the health of a plant, or to increase the yield and the quality of the flowers and the fruit. But spiritually speaking, the main purpose of pruning or purging or purifying is to produce more good fruit. For many of us who are city dwellers and not living in an agricultural economy, we have very little idea of what pruning involves, unless we happen to be an avid gardener with our own garden at home. But this is something that gardeners and farmers do regularly throughout the year. The general technique is always to cut at a location where growth will occur. And if the pruning is correct, it allows for quick healing and it promotes vigorous growth at that point. So instead of damaging or destroying the plant, it makes it stronger and more fruitful. This works because of a redirection of the plant's energy toward producing more fruit instead of more foliage and leaves. You do not just want growth of any kind, but you want productive growth in the right places at the right time. You want more fruit, not more leaves. It's a bit like saying you want to put on by having more muscle and not more fat. I've called pruning the principle of death, and it is realized in practice by being crucified with Christ. And we find this in the second exception verse in John's Gospel, and this is in chapter 12, verse 24, where the Lord Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless," that's our word for except or unless, "a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit or much grain." So when we want to move beyond more fruit to much fruit, here is the principle. It's the principle of death, but not as an end in itself. Death unto life, crucifixion through to resurrection life. This is nothing more than the principle of the cross described in horticultural terms. We need to identify ourselves fully with the death and crucifixion of Christ in order to experience the resurrection and the life that He brings. This is what a grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying means. Unless that happens, its existence will simply remain to itself. But if it is prepared to fall into the ground and die, it makes possible the springing up of new life, and in time to come, followed by flowering and fruiting, which in turn will provide many seeds for further reproduction and multiplication. What happens when a seed falls into the ground? For a time, the effect may seem to be opposite. It's buried out of sight, there is no sign of life, it seems to have decayed and disappeared out of existence from the earth. That's what happens when you embrace the cross and you become crucified with Christ. But presently and by, we find a little green shoot emerging from the ground through the seed which has died, so that life emerges and comes out from death. And all this application of the cross in our lives is to produce a habitual abiding in Christ. The cross works in our lives to prune away self-works and self-exertion, which cannot produce fruit to God. This was the spiritual secret of the great fruitfulness of the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And it is this crucified life with Christ that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit, which we have read about yesterday in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. In fact, in the following verse of Galatians 5:24, he says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So that's the practical result of pruning or purging. It purifies us by crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. Here is another place that Paul speaks about how productive the pruning knife of God can be. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, he says this, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." Did you notice that? It's tribulation that produces perseverance. People in the world are always thinking of and looking for something which works. How about this for something which really works? It says there in Romans 5:3, "Tribulation produces or works perseverance." And sometimes God has to prune us through tribulations in order to work or to produce something that is better. So don't shun the pruning knife of the divine gardener or vine dresser. It may be painful for a while, but he seeks your higher good in order that you may produce more fruit and much fruit. So in summary, here we have the picture of a plant using two horticultural tips for increasing productivity or fruitfulness by God, who is the divine gardener. First is by fertilizing, and that is about what you do. It deals with the roots and the stem. And to do this, we apply the principle of life, and it comes by abiding in Christ. And secondly, it is by pruning. This is about what you go through. And here it touches the branches and the leaves, and we apply the principle of death through being crucified with Christ. And may God continue to refresh you by His presence and to reach you by His wonderful word.
If we are to increase our fruitfulness, we must be mindful of God's proper fertilization and pruning processes. Thank you for that word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong presents Part 3 of Fruit. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question. Ken would love to just respond to you, and you can send him a text message. That number is 9431-3813. Or you can write to him at Post Office Box 392 Thompson Road, Post Office, Singapore 915-714. Or you can visit our Facebook page, and there you can see the latest updates, or you can give us your views right there on the Times of Refreshing Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, to listen to the program online. And you can also download your very own Times of Refreshing iPhone app, which will allow you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.